Blog Talk Radio.
To Family Power Hour, mm-hmm. a weekly radio show every Wednesday, 7 to 8. And you can call us at 347-945-7246. And, of course, you can go to the Facebook, Family Power. You can like us, and you can have all the information. And I'm your host, Dr. Billy Eisenberg, and
I am your host, Sheena Benjamin-Wise, family law attorney. I'm so happy to have you back, Billy. And please tell us, how about your trip?
It was an amazing trip. I've been in Israel. My son got married, and it was really, you know, it's a different wedding in Israel in America. In Israel, usually the wedding is you have a lot of people. One of my friends married the daughter was married and was 100 people at the wedding. Yes.
Whoa.
No, in our wedding was just 120, and it was really nice to see the young couple, not so young, but they were happy, had a lot of food at the level, and it was Passover, so we decided together, and it's fun to be together, but it's so many hours to fly there, you know,
right,
and I'm still
right.
on jet lag, so I don't know what time, it's a day or night,
right.
But it's great to come back to Florida. I love Florida. I love the life here. So how was your Easter?
My Easter was fabulous. Very, very great. I had great time with family and spending time with my girls. It was beautiful, you know, wonderful time. But both of us seem to be a little bit under the weather today. So please excuse us, callers, for our
yes.
quality of our voices.
Yes.
But we're doing our best to speak as clearly and as articulately as we can so you can love listening to us and not turn us
yes.
off. You know, don't turn us off.
No, absolutely not. But we want to apologize because the original guest was supposed to be Dr. Jen Groman. She canceled. She didn't. She just she's going to come next month. She's out of time. And today we have Lisa Travis and we have Elaine Weinberg, they're going to call later. But let's talk about what happened last week. You know, that I heard in the news.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah, it was. I didn't know what happened for the last 3 weeks because I was out of town, and maybe you can share with me. But about a teenage, a boy mm-hmm. from San Jose, California, I just imagine. I don't know how he's still alive, you know. The woman said that he ran away from his father and his stepmother to
yes.
visit his mother in Africa.
In Somalia. Yes.
And by mistake, he got to Hawaii.
Well, it's funny because I thought the same thing. How does he know which plane is going to go to Somalia if you're on the tarmac looking from the bottom? You know, you don't have the little airline flight people telling you this is the plane to get on. So he took a chance and he picked one. And
you know, and thinking about the security. I know I came from Israel, and when I left the United States, everybody was checking your luggage, you're checking everything.
Yep.
And Israel, you know, they're searching everything. And here, you just jump on the fence.
Clearly, that was his day to get on a plane. I mean, I think there's something about willpower and your desire to see someone really pushed him to take this large risk. But I think... He's recovering right now in the hospital and may have been subject to some major, you know, health conditions. The doctors are amazed
Yeah.
They said because he's young and he's healthy, he survived. Yeah. But the average you and I would have been dead.
No. I saw your room. I don't know how you're going to fit the room. Just imagine when you see the wheel just came inside of the track. But he was on a runaway for 7 hours and then a year. I don't know. And I heard it at the news that they don't know if they're going to sue him, they're going to be punished. You know what? I think he punished enough.
No,
you know?
What I heard was that he was going to be placed in a foster care system temporarily to make a decision on what to do next. But, you know, I think it is a security risk.
Yeah.
And so the United States, wake up. There's some holes in our flight system and our airport system. But this child was a child wanting to be with his mother. So I don't think there's any malintent in what he did.
I hope not, because you know that the punching officer, I don't know the risk. But let's talk about something totally different about Barbara Walters. She was there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chapeau to her. She is decided to put the keys on the table and just, and when I heard the interview, she said, what's the best thing for this? That I don't need to know what I'm doing tomorrow. I just want to have fun. I don't need to have any schedule. She's 84 years old, and she was a pioneer. I mean, she's the world pioneer. And
absolutely.
I saw all the interview how she has a very big time when everybody makes fun of her when she started. Nobody, I mean, all the anchor didn't want
to
say,
she broke some ceilings for women in journalism, and I think she really made a place in history.
Yeah.
For our young people to look for up to and say, oh, wow, look at what she did for us, you know, both men, boys and girls.
Do you remember the one of the interview that impacted you that you still remember?
Barbara Walters, you know, many of her interviews were when I was younger. So it was, you know, I do know that she made Oprah cry or something.
Yeah.
I do know that much. How about you? What was
I was still young, but I remember the interview with in Israel between Anwar Sadat from Egypt and Menachem Begin from Israel.
Mm.
Yes, so I was really young, but I still remember. And it's really a fact because she did a history. She brought two prime minister and put them together. It was the first and last time they were sitting together. And maybe there was a breakthrough today, the peaceful in the Egypt between Egypt and Israel. So I still remember this. And over the year, you know, I like the way she approached very directly. You know, she didn't afraid to ask questions.
Right.
And I mean that's and
strong
then
and powerful woman.
Yeah. And she deserves. And I read the book about her life, and she has a fascinating life. And so we're talking about people. We're talking about powerful women. We're talking about family. And family gets to you because you know about family. How do you know?
I do. Both of us actually know a lot about family. And I do. I handle a lot of families that are going through some very rough transitions or approaching a time in their lives when they want to change and really needing some guidance or some coaching on how to be with their parents, with their children, with their soon-to-be ex-spouse.
Because
or,
you are a family attorney,
yes.
So tell about your office.
Yes, like Billy says, I'm a family law attorney. I practice in Pompano Beach. And I provide services in divorce and custody matters. I provide services for families who are considering relocating outside of South Florida and going to another part of the country. I've also provide services to people who have a final judgment in their hands and they're not quite sure how to make it work for them. So I help them enforce it or help them modify it and provide all kinds of services like that for them, and been doing that for about 12 years. So,
but you're still young, and you have a lot of experience.
I'm young and marvelous.
You are.
I just have a really hoarse voice today. I'm sorry.
No,
it is me. You're Sheena Benjamin-Wise. It's somebody else.
You sound like Martin Dietrich.
So.
Before I'm going to introduce myself, we're talking about relocation when people get divorced.
Yep.
And Florida have the special law in Florida. How the impact about when they're moving to another state?
Yeah, I mean, that is something that one must consider both at the time of the divorce if this is something that they want to do and relocate, leaving a town with the child, leaving the city or the county with the child, and what impact that has on the relationship with the other person, or after the divorce is done, there is a rule in Florida that says that if you have a divorce or you have a judgment on parent rights and time sharing, and then you reside with the child and you will now want to relocate beyond 50 miles from where you are currently located, you have to ask permission from the court or get an agreement between the spouse or the other parent in order to move. And if you can't get that agreement between the parents, you really do have to really look at your facts, sit down with an attorney, look at your facts to see if you will prevail in a court situation when you file a petition for relocation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I have so many questions because when I was, I know about what you're doing, but let me introduce myself. I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm a clinical psychologist and family therapist and have two PhD degree. I'm doing what I do for so many years. I'm dealing with the family aspect, marriage, divorce, grief counseling, grief counseling, children. And one of the specialties that I never talking about is the children one analysis.
I
don't believe to take a small children to see any therapist.
Okay.
At least it's the school requirement.
And when you say small children, what is a small child?
I say with the 3 years old to 6 and 7.
Okay.
Or maybe 12, because I think if the school provides the school therapist, the school psychologist, at the school, someone, the school, the counselor, it's okay, because I trust the school to take care of the child. But it's not fair to take a child to see a stranger, ask questions, and then the children are going to take their parents out no matter what, and it's not fair to the child, and you're never going to find the truth for the child. I think it's not fair to the child. And let me repeat again. When the child go to the school psychology, he has like a support from school. He know the school, he know the teacher, he know, so it's, I feel more comfortable. This is my belief. I know this is a lot of people going to disagree with me, but I refuse to work with the small children. Teenagers is a different story. And at least it's an inner safe, it's abuse, it's a different, I'm not talking about something extreme, but I think if the parents say, oh, we have a problem with the child, he's not listening to us, don't want to do homework, he's 6 years old, we want to see it the therapist. I think the parents need to see the therapist, not the children.
So are you talking about a situation outside of a divorce situation when parents are having trouble raising their child, parenting their child, and sometimes those parents will run to a psychologist and say, "Here, come and fix the child because the child is broken."
I remember a long time ago, I think it was 5 years ago, a mother called me. She said, "We have a problem with the child." She was, I think, it was 11. It was she, and she refused to go to school. She very fresh, and what we need to do? And I said, "I want to see you and your husband." There was a husband. And she said, "Of course, I want to see you and your husband." And said, "We don't have problems. The child has problems." And she refused to come. And she told the person who referred to me, "I don't understand her. We don't have a problem." Yes, you do have a problem, because most of the time it's the communication between the children and the
connection with the parents.
The children drawing, this method came from the United States to Europe and the Middle East almost 4 years ago, and nobody using it here. When I
started in the United States,
absolutely,
and it's not being used here.
No.
Why do you think that's?
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. It's
it endorsed by the APA?
Yes,
okay.
But if it is not an art therapy, unfortunately, I don't know anything about art. You know, that's not as a professional. But it seems like you can learn about the tone muscle. You can better the subject on the page. And if it's a right side, the left side, as I said, the tone muscle, if it's the left hand or the right hand, you can find a lot of physical state.
Now, let me ask you, if a parent just goes through the child's book bag and finds a picture and they bring it to you, would you be able to tell them?
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
But not just one drawing. Usually we analyze 3 drawings at a different time.
Oh.
Because if the child was very upset at the same day, you need to analyze the whole, you need to see the whole picture. And it's very easy. to know, and sometimes parents come to we're doing the study in my office, and they say, how do you know? You never met the child. They say, I have a crystal ball. No, it's not a crystal ball. And I just teach the parents how to recognize a few details. You need to know, and again, it's not indicated one drawing. If the child don't close in a circle, that means he has some division. It's better to go to see. So it's maybe with the focus. So many things you can learn about the child, if he's aggressive, if he's shy. And it reminds me, of course, I'm not going to mention name. The father was a football coach,
mm-hmm.
and he wants the child to go to be a football coach. When I saw the drawing, I said, it's not going to happen because the child is very, he go to the drama, and he was very upset.
So he was artsy, not athletic.
Yeah.
Okay. And you could tell that through
absolutely.
The...
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's very, when I say easy, it's, I think every parent needs to just pay attention to see the drawing. And again, it's not the art. It's how, and it's not the color. Those days they used to say, if it's a black color, that means something wrong with it. No, and you need to know when the child, a small child, doing the drawing, it depends if they are queen or the king of the class. Using the same color. It's not the color. It's the places, object on the places. So this is, go ahead.
Well, you know, I know a lot of family law attorneys handle, especially in the Florida, South Florida area, we handle what we call high conflict cases. High conflict cases are where the parents are just really always at each other's throats. Something as simple as sharing an address or giving some medication could cause a high conflict between the parties. And so... family law attorneys are not trained to do counseling or therapy. We can yell at you, and we often do that, but we also like to, you know, pass them on to somebody who has some technical and some skills in that area, and high conflict cases are a lot. So our drawing
it's
analysis.
Not art. It's children drawing analysis. It's not an art.
Right.
Yes. This
okay.
is yeah.
I wish
I can know more about art, but it's not art. It's children drawing analysis, and you can go to the website, and you can go just search on any on the internet. You can find a lot of information about this. It's amazing.
Right.
I had a question there.
Sure.
I mean, from your experience, the statistic. What's the statistic age that people that get in divorce?
Ooh.
What age?
The average age.
Yes.
I would say the average age is probably in their early 40s.
Wow.
But it's probably moving back a little bit because people were getting married earlier a few years ago. Now marriage is happening a little bit later in life. But usually, you know, 10, 12 years into it, you start to see the beginning of a marital breakdown, and then, you know, usually 15, 16, you're 16 years into your marriage. So depending on when you got married, 17 years after that is pretty high probability. I know people say 7-year itch happens.
Yeah.
I haven't seen very many 7-year divorces. But they range from, you know, a couple of weeks, as we know from Ms. Kardashian, right? And to the other end of the spectrum where I have divorced people who've been married 50 years.
Wow. That's
yeah.
So why, for your experience, why people get in divorce? It's money, it's fidelity, it's they try to find themselves. Suddenly, one of the spouses feel he attracted to the same.
Well, I think you actually have a better answer to that than I do because you have the emotional and the mental health aspect of why people do what they do and what comes up for them in their certain points of their lives.
Yes, and I think it depends, as you said, it depends on the age because when you're around 45, 50 years old, there's you have enough and you think that you're still young enough to find it at chapter B. And if you are younger, it's money. Most of the time, it's money and fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, And when people get married, nobody thinks that they're going to go divorce. And suddenly that it's money or
satisfaction. I think people get very disappointed with the person that they choose. I think there's a idealism that happens when you get married, and when the person doesn't live up to your expectations, then you're like, wait a minute, what did I get myself into here?
and I think especially now, what I find out the last, I think, two or three, I didn't do the statistics, but it's something that we can blame the internet, you know, because most of the men, men and women as well, just searching the internet and they find that they can achieve, they can.
You mean they're attractive, attractive.
Yeah.
And they still can make things happen.
what's the oldest a couple that you saw in your office that got divorced? What age?
72 and 68.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a 50-year marriage. That was not too long ago.
Yeah, and wow. And I saw the couple that came to see me. He was 84 and she was 82. It was the second. It's a chapter B, and they find that they're not on the same page. And I very, very nice couple. And when they came, you just want to...
How long were they married?
They wasn't married because he divorced with his wife.
Oh, okay.
And they went together almost, I think, was 10 years together. And something that two of them did very well in life. They had a lot of money. And she defined that suddenly he's not the same person she met when he was 74.
Oh.
Yeah. She wants more sex. She wants to travel, and he's tired.
And he's not dancing. Hello, I'm 84.
Yeah, he's not dancing all night long. And
that's some of the conversations that I sometimes have with people, and so you know this person better than I do. You knew that they were going to be this way. There's something about them that you knew, and maybe you can speak to a little bit about some foresight that people tend to try to ignore or to kind of close their eyes to, that is a reality.
Yeah, but usually when women afraid to get divorced because they afraid to lose the property and money, they're afraid to lose the name, and they're afraid to be by themselves.
And the impact on the children.
Yeah, but the children usually it's excuse. You know, because if you have enough money, from my experience here in my office, when we have enough money, sir, it's okay, but you're afraid you're not going to support the children the same that you used to. We divided. We need to continue to talk about, because we have a lot of questions to ask you, and I know that you have a lot of information to give back. We have one of the guests.
Very
special guest. So,
a surprise, you know, because it is actually important for our callers to meet and know and meet this particular guest. As we did a couple of weeks ago, we had Daria on, and we talked about different aspects of what she does. And I think it's important that, you know, we as part of RightStream Network, that you as the callers know, you know, who our partners are out in our show. So
yeah, let's get the guest to introduce. I can't see, and
Kiwi.
All right.
Kiwi. You are.
Yeah, this is called the jet lag.
There it is.
Good evening, guests.
Hello. How are you guys?
Hello. And please introduce yourself.
I am Lisa Tarvis. I am the host of Just Believe Radio on the RightStream Network.
All right. Welcome, and thank you for being a part of our show tonight.
And please, Lisa, tell us about you, about your show, about what you do. Give us, our audience, a good advice. And the floor is yours, dear.
You know, it's so funny. I've been listening to your show, and I'm thinking, wow, I have, like, so, I, you know, I've been through a divorce. I had two small children when I didn't, and I'm like, I wonder if this is why they called me to be on tonight.
No.
I'm like, I
I hope you read your my email. No, it's about you, darling. It's
totally
not about the voice. It's about you.
I'm totally relating with everything you guys are saying, though. So, anyway, it's a pleasure to be on. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm actually a metaphysician. I have a master's degree in metaphysical science, and I have board certification by the American Association of Holistic, of Drugless Practitioners as a holistic practitioner. So I have board certification by AADP is what they're called, and it's basically just the group of us that don't prescribe drugs. So I do a lot of counseling myself. I work with children with some psychic abilities, some, you know, sixth sense kind of things going on. I spend some time doing that as well as with adults. So, but my show is a spirituality show, and we cover all kinds of spiritual and metaphysical paranormal topics.
Lisa, I just wanted to ask you if you can break down the definition of a metaphysician for our audience.
Yeah, that's actually so funny because it's one of the hardest things to define, I think, that exists. And if you look it up, there's this ridiculous description that just gives you makes more questions, I think, come to mind than it does solve questions. But the basic deal is, like, I always tell people I'm going to spend my life trying to prove what is basically unprovable. I spend my training time and my personal time trying to, in some way, I guess, prove to people what I know of there being another, you know, an afterlife, of there being a God, and prophets that were sent, things that I know, definitely angels. That was my gift when I was little. I was born with the ability to see and communicate with angels. So metaphysics encompasses all of that, along with, you know, not just that stuff, but with the holistic health stuff, the mind, body, and spirit connection. And our belief in keeping the mind, body, and spirit all balanced and preventing mental illnesses from occurring, spiritual blockages, as well as physical disease.
Okay.
Can you tell us about one of the stories that people call you to your show and you help them via show?
Well, I try to do a lot of different things on the show. I'm really leaning, we get a ton of callers and listeners when we do on-air readings. And I get people that are mediums and gifted intuitives from all over, really, all over the country, the world, you know, to come on the show. And when they come on the show, they will take live readings. And everybody has their own way of doing a reading. Everybody connects spiritually in a different way. They connect with a different entity sometimes. Like some of us connect with angels. Some people connect with their spirit guides. Some people connect with deceased people. So everybody has their own way of doing a reading. Those are the things that I find help the most. And so much of the time, and these are the shows that are most popular, so much of the time what I'm finding is that it's really guidance. It's basically just guidance. And in my opinion, and this is what I've always said, and I wrote a book a couple years ago, and I said this in the book as well, is that, you know, a lot of this stuff to me always comes across as common sense. Like, duh, how do you not already know this? You know, it's like I don't know how people don't already see what's obvious, and but to them it's not obvious. So I think it's just a level of maybe perception that some people have that others don't. But there's definitely a spiritual side to it, because there is definitely a connection there where you're getting information and you're getting that guidance through something, someone else. So what I try to do with my clients that come to me and with the people that call into the show is give them, and, it's so funny because so much of the time I end up defending, you know, at least once every show, you know, and I'm telling everybody, you know what, whatever this reader is telling you, you know, you call in, you have a question about a relationship or a job, or you have a question about something going on with your children, whatever, we're going to tell you, you're going to hear basically what that person is able to pick up on, what that person is sensing about the situation as it now stands. And I tell everyone, and people sometimes don't like what they hear. And I always tell people, if you don't want to know the truth, don't call. Don't call in. Don't call me for an appointment, because you're going to get the truth. And sometimes the truth isn't what we want to hear. And sometimes it's just downright not pretty, you know. So, you know, and that happens a lot with relationship things. Why is my husband doing this? What's going on with my wife here? And it's like, wow, really? I mean, I sometimes just think they need somebody to – maybe, I don't know, tell them the obvious in some situations, but they call in and they get our advice. And I always say, you know, if you don't like it, change it. If you don't like what you're hearing, change it, because at no point is anything set in stone. You know, we have free will and we have the ability to change our future.
Let me ask you, maybe I didn't understand. Do you do the reading yourself?
No, I haven't done a show yet where, as a guest on other people's shows, I'll do readings. I do them in person for my clients. On the radio so far, I've always used a different psychic.
Why? I'm asking why. You don't want to do it?
No, I love doing it, and I do it on a lot of shows, but not on mine. And the reason is I'm trying to open a forum up for people to, you know, advertise what they do. I do things totally differently. That I don't read tarot cards. There are all kinds of different methods of doing things. People that specialize in talking to animals and things of that sort. So I try to get all these different types of people on that do readings in a different way. I certainly add my two cents when something comes through to me during the reading. You know, when I have a client on, I'll add something when it's appropriate. The honest to God only reason, and this is, I think you guys will respect this from doing your own show, is logistically trying to handle 30, 40, 50, 60 callers at a time while, you know, screening those callers while actually doing the readings would be almost impossible. So luckily, Daria once in a while has some free time on Sundays when I my show airs on Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern. And when my show's on, she'll come on and she's volunteered for me to do a show of readings, and she would do the screening. So the problem is I get so many callers that I just can't do the screening. And, you know, once in a while you get a crazy person that calls, and you have to kind of make sure they don't get on the air. You're trying to get rid of the person that's just going to, you know, scream something stupid and kind of try and ruin your show. So I like to do the screening. I like to get their name ahead of time and where they're calling from. And I can't do that and do the readings. There's just too many callers and the back and forth is a little crazy. But, you know, like when I can have somebody on acting as like a producer, then I that's definitely on my schedule. I keep promising everyone when I do my shows that I'm going to do that. So hopefully soon.
Maybe we can do one show that you're going to be on the show and here in Florida, because our audience, most of them is Florida, and you can do the reading. I think I'm fascinated by this. It's very interesting. And, you know, every time if a tree fell on the sequoia and we don't hear the noise, it's not me that it didn't fell, that they have noise. So I really believe that, and I'm fascinated by the reading. What about you,
Lisa? I have a question. What would you advise somebody who's looking to retain somebody with your services? What should they look out for? What qualities in a person should they really zone in on to make sure they have somebody of quality?
That is a fantastic question, and I am so glad you asked it, because this has been one of my pet peeves lately, because I have heard some real horrible stories of people being just totally and no other, there's no other gentler way to say it than ripped off, you know, by people claiming to be psychic. I think you want to look with somebody, look for somebody who does have certifications. You know, you don't have to have somebody who has a master's degree in metaphysical science like I do. That's just schooling. That doesn't prove anything. You know, that's just education. But you do want to have somebody who has been certified as something, either a tarot reader or has been certified as a psychic or a medium. I've been certified, you know, as a psychic, and I do certifications for other people. You know, those people have been through the training, and they've been through testing to prove that they do have some sort of ability. My biggest thing is anytime somebody tells you that there is a curse on you, that there's some kind of evil around you, something connected to you that needs to be disconnected from you and wants to charge you a ridiculous amount of money for it, run fast, run away, because
okay.
I have people that come to me and they're like, I went to this other person and they said I had this evil entity attached to me and that they needed $5,000 to remove it. And I sit there and my face in my hands, my head shaking my head, because I'm like, these are the people that give the rest of us a really bad name. Those of us that are really just out there trying to help people, you know, those that are just trying to guide people. I have an hourly fee that I charge. It's a very reasonable hourly fee that I charge, and that's it. Nobody is, no, I don't, if, I'm not, I'm, please, I, that's it.
Okay.
Nobody's buying anything.
I definitely hit a hot button with that.
Well, you know why? It's come up like 4 times in like the last 2 months, where it's been some horrible story in my area. And if you knew where I live in like kind of the boondocks here in Pennsylvania. I mean, it's kind of just where my property is, where my house is, used to be farmland. So I'm, you know, it's just Farmerville out here. So for there to be that many stories of it around here, it has been bothering me a little bit. Okay, but now I've spilled it and I feel better.
Okay, well, I never knew that I could look for a certification in somebody like a medium, right? Or that, that kind of profession.
Medium,
I didn't know.
Yeah, a medium is going to be somebody who connects with the someone who's deceased. Some people don't need certifications. Like you're looking at, you know, some of the people that are on TV are famous for whatever they've had. Obviously, if they don't have a certification, that's fine. But they need to have a lot of testimonies then to back up. They have to have a pretty big client base to back up that they have some sort of ability for me to spend my money on them. And I can't do my own readings. I can't tell you anything going to happen in my own life. You know, ever. So I go to other people too, and I am really very, very careful to only go to the ones that I really that I've really done some research on and that I trust.
So you can do it. You don't need to see the person, the person in your office. You can do it over the Skype, or you can do it over the radio show.
Yep, everybody, you know, we're all bodies of energy, so energy is just connecting with energy, so it absolutely doesn't, distance and time and space, all that stuff doesn't come into play with readings, luckily. So, you know, some people send an email and ask for a reading, and I email them back. You know, I don't even have to actually have that connection right then and there, but most people like that. Most people like the Skype connection or the phone connection or, like, you know, the radio shows and things like that.
What's the strangest question that you've been asked to find out about another person?
I get, you just wouldn't believe some of the stuff that comes up. And it's actually, there are a lot of the strangest stuff, I guess, comes around relationships. And to me, what's strange, you know, I mean, people say, this is going to sound odd, but can I ask you it anyway? And I'm like, please, there's nothing I haven't heard. You know? There's nothing I haven't been asked. So it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy for me to be not shocked by anything anymore. But I really think that the relationship stuff that's so obvious to me, like, you know, will this relationship still work? Does my relationship still have hope? And it's not that it's a bizarre question, because, I mean, we all feel that way when a relationship's ending. But when they sit there and they tell me, well, he left me because he has a new girlfriend and he hasn't seen our kids in, you know, 3 months, and he won't pick up my phone calls, he won't text me back. If he does, he just tells me to stay out of his life and leave him alone. I'm like, you don't need to pay me to tell you what's going on there. You know, and I mean, and I have said that. I have said that in readings. I'm like, I feel bad taking your money because you're just not looking at the situation objectively. This is someone who doesn't want to be with you. If someone doesn't want to be with you, don't. If they want to leave, let them leave. You know, if they want to go, let them go.
Are they looking for you to create some kind of miracle like they do with me or with Dr. Billy? Like somehow you're going to fix the problem.
Yes. It's like they think I have a magic wand. I always tell them that, because when we're doing the reading, I'm like, you know, when we're doing the reading, they start asking me questions, and I can tell where it's going. I mean, just like I guess you guys can too. You can tell where this is going, and that they're not over it, and that they're not willing. They're not in that place of letting go yet. And I will very simply say, you know, I don't have a magic potion or a spell I'm going to cast or a magic wand to fix this for you. You know, I'm going to tell you what's in your best interest, the way I see it right now, what's in your best interest spiritually from, you know, from my perspective. People, is he a soulmate? Is this guy a soulmate? Is this girl a soulmate? We have lots of soulmates. You know, nobody, you're not destined to be with one person forever necessarily, you know? And you know, divorces happen. People split up. And it's a learning process. It's something that makes us grow as people to go through what we've gone through.
Let me ask you a question, Lisa, because we need to, I'm fascinated. I didn't know that I was so, we would be so fascinated. Can we do a show together? Don't forget we're on live right now. Can we do a show together that's in our show and you can do the reading? We can do it next month. I don't know if we're live. All right. Because I'm afraid that somebody's going
to
read to me. Yeah. Sorry.
I really enjoy doing that. That's a lot of fun for me. I love doing on-air readings. And it's funny because when people – I have so many clients that are doctors, that are lawyers, that are psychiatrists and psychologists and all these things, and their clients coming to me. And it always kind of – I love it because it makes me feel good, you know, to know that educated people are still believe. You know, you don't have to be uneducated in fact, most people are not uneducated that are coming to me. So for me to be able to work with, you know, people like that and be on shows that are more about that than the paranormal, I love that because it just gives it a little bit more, it gives it a little level of a boost for me because of the fact that I know that, you know, people, that educated people all across the, you know, the map are believing in a higher power and the ability to communicate beyond, you know, our actual present level here.
As you say, you just believe. You just need to believe.
Yes, Lisa. Tell us how to get in contact with you, about your website. Tell us more information so that people can reach out to you.
It's hard not to find me these days. I'm all over the place, and everything's under my name. My name is Lisa Tarvis, which is T-A-R-V-E-S, and my website is lisatarvis.com. And there you can schedule appointments with me. I have an app that does all the scheduling, online scheduling for me, whether it's, you know, through the phone, through Skype, through, you know, an in-person reading, whatever. I have also my Facebook account on there. My Twitter followers are on there.
Tell us your tweet.
Oh, my God. I tweet all day long. It's at Lisa Tarvis. And my hashtag is just believe, of course, just like everything else, just believe. So that's my hashtag, but it's at Lisa Tarvis, and I have like 21,000 followers right now. It's amazing. I can't believe how it's grown, and I tweet all the time. I'm constantly tweeting. I love to tweet. I am addicted to tweeting. I will admit it. Facebook, I'm kind of ignoring.
I have received a lot of your tweets. Thank you.
Yeah. I received a tweet. I don't know how to answer. Yeah. I need Daria to tell you what I have to say. And I know you do the marketing through the live stream, so somebody needs to teach me how to tweet. Lisa,
yeah,
I know. It's taking me time, but at least I can get it. For all of
you
listening
doing
to now,
much
Lisa going to be, I don't know when, but Lisa going to come to the show, and she's going to do the reading. We are going to talk with Lisa, and we decided when we're going to promote it. It's going to be great. I'm scared, but but it's going to be great. Lisa, yeah, I'm terrified. Yeah, I have a very bad experience with me a long time ago. Yeah, she was in Arabic and all Japanese. Yeah. So a very bad experience, but you know, but I'm open. Again, we just need to believe. Lisa, I thank you. Do you have something just to add before we say goodbye?
No, I just really appreciate the opportunity to come on tonight and to and talk about what I do and talk about the different shows we have going on the Right Stream Network. Hopefully, Daria brought up Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, which is our newest show that we added in November when she was on, and that's starting to grow a little bit. Although we were having to run a lot of reruns for a while, but Love, Liberty, and
Lisa, give us a brief information about the new show.
Well, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, originally we were gonna attack it and have guests on and all that, and we got to the point where Daria and I, and then my daughter Kristen, who's 19 and going to college and working full time, and you know, she co-hosts as often as she can with us. We talk about women's issues, and it's so funny because we have no format anymore. We go at it like we're just talking about our lives, and that's working. You know what I mean? I might talk about a fight I had with my husband. She might talk about something going on professionally or a friendship situation. Just the normal day-to-day stuff, women's issues that, you know, all women are dealing with, time management, trying to figure out how the heck you're supposed to get all the things done in a day that, you know, you're supposed to get done in a day and still do it in high heels, looking pretty somehow. I don't know. It's just
interesting. And we And we're talking about women, and the next guest, her name is Elaine Weinberg, and she's the president for Women for Excellence. So you please stay and listen, because maybe all of us together can do something very proactive. And again, Lisa, thank you so, so much.
Yeah.
Good luck with the new show. And as you promised, and everybody listen to this, we're going to do the show. You can reach for our audience. And again, just give again brief your contact number.
Sure. LisaTarvis.com, www.LisaTarvis.com. You'll find my links, my phone number, my email address, everything right on that page. So it's LisaTarvis.com, LisaTarvis.com. You can find all the links to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and all those other sites on there as well, and links to where you can buy my book, Just Believe. I know, I got to come up with a new title, I think. This Just Believe is just believing, getting crazy. I believe.
I like the name. Yeah, just believe. It covers everything. Just believe. Thank you
just
so,
believe,
so much.
Believe.
And I will
thank
send you in tomorrow, because we'll do the show as soon as we can, because I found it very, very interesting. And
let me know when you have it available. Okay. My Wednesday nights are usually free open.
All right,
great.
Thank you so much.
Good night,
and thank you again. Thank you so, so much.
Good night. Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
And, thanks. And now we have another guest. And hello, Elaine Weinberg.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me to participate.
Yeah, I hope you listened to the last guest, Lisa and Travis, about, reading, and I think it's going to be very, very fascinating. And as she says, she's talking about women. So who you are, dear, and what organization you present?
Well, professionally, I'm a vice president and financial advisor at Morgan Stanley. But in January of this year, I became president of Women for Excellence, which is a non-for-profit women's professional women's organization that's dedicated to providing resources for women so they can continue to achieve economic prosperity, and it promotes leadership and professionalism, and it fosters networking opportunities. And we also work very diligently at being of service to our community. And I've been with Women for Excellence for almost 10 years, and this year became president. So it's been a very exciting time stepping into this very challenging role.
Yeah, so what you, I mean, and nobody listens for now, but you know that I'm your VP.
Uh-huh.
So,
and yes, that is true. You are my VP.
We are actually,
my right-hand man, person.
11 years. But when you became president, what you did change in our organization? I mean, what you did different from other presidents?
Well, I think we've gotten a lot accomplished in the first 4 months of the year. And one of the things that I've always really enjoyed and been intrigued by has been technology. And so me personally, just if anybody remembers the movie where, and I can't remember the name of it now, but where Dustin Hoffman was told to think of plastics, I was told in high school by my dad to think of computers, and so I've always been challenged by the technology industry and excited about it. And so it was time that Women of Excellence warmed up to technology, and so in the past several months we've updated our website. We've embraced using Square, which is a technology so that our guests and our members can pay by credit card. I know the rest of the world has been using credit cards forever on everything else, but we have just accomplished that, and that's streamlined a lot for us and made things much easier for our members and guests. We've also gotten a mail service called MailChimp so that our emails to our members and guests are much more professional looking. And we're continuing to explore new opportunities to get us into the 21st century. So that's where we're at.
How many members?
And I'm very proud of that. Pardon me?
Absolutely. How many members we have in Women for Excellence?
We have, I think, almost 70. And right now we've just begun last month a membership drive. To incentivize our members to bring guests. And we have several guests signed up for our next meeting, which is May 1st, or next week. And so we're going to run this membership drive from now until the end of the year. We have a goal of getting our numbers over 100, which we've been in the past. Like every other organization during this recent past recession and difficult times, our membership fell off a little bit, but we're determined to turn that around. And I think we will have some great success with that. I know we will because the members have really rolled up their sleeves, and I've gotten several emails from people already saying I'm bringing guests and I'm excited by this opportunity. So we're going to get a little competitive about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then what is the purpose of the organization, and what would be your pull for a new member? What would make your organization attractive to a new member?
Well, there are lots of women's groups out there, as you know, I'm sure. But this group, I think, has a real core of people that are genuinely warm and inviting. So we've had a lot of women who have just, as a matter of fact, this is my story. I came to Boca and didn't know anybody and read in the newspaper that this organization was having a meeting, and I thought, well, let me go here, and it's 10 years later and I'm still there. So I've never felt uncomfortable. In addition, I've met lots of women through the meetings and networking who have been great resources for me, as well as women who have become my clients and who have referred other business to me as well. So in addition to the friendliness, in addition to the business aspect, we also each month have a speaker and on a myriad of different topics. So some are business-oriented, some are social, are topics that are life-enhancing. We're having a speaker. We're having Ann Gannon at the upcoming meeting, who's going to talk about taxes in Palm Beach and how the tax office is run, so we get a little politics and understand what's going on in our community. The
yes.
following
and,
month,
and
we're having a speaker talk about personal
you.
Security. So it's a whole different range of things.
Yeah, but Elaine, sorry to interrupt you. Don't forget to mention that beside the networking, the business, the friendship, we're doing something very important about the scholarship.
Yes.
So
yes, we do. We have, at each meeting, we raise money through raffles. Our members donate raffle gifts. We raffle them off, and that money has built a very nice scholarship fund where we've been awarding scholarships to women who have either been victims of domestic abuse, or now we've connected with some women that have been in the foster care system and are going to college, and we continue to raise money to help further their education, because we think that education is the key to breaking difficult cycles and difficult backgrounds that these people come from. And so we're very proud of this scholarship fund, and we hope to continue to grow that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the meeting, it's the first Thursday of the month.
Always the first Thursday of the month.
And how people, if women just listen, it's just a women organization. If women listen now and they want to be part or just come to guest, give all the information, please.
Okay. We have our website, which is womenforexcellence.org. I'm going to repeat it, womenforexcellence.org. And right on there, it says upcoming events, and you can click right through there and make a reservation. So pay for your ticket. And our guest fee had in the past been $40, but this year for our first-time guests, we've reduced it to our members' fee, which is $27. And you can find out all about the meetings, who the speakers are upcoming. You can see who the members are, and we'd love to have you. If you,
it's a lunchtime in Maggiano in Boca.
It's lunchtime at 11 o'clock at Maggiano's, which is right behind the Town Center Mall and in Boca Raton. And it's there the first Thursday of every month. So while it's fresh in your mind, click through, make a reservation, and come see us next week.
Next week it's Ann Gannon. Thank you so much, Elaine. And
Thank you, Elaine.
And I think we're doing a great and Win for Excellence, great organization. I'm there almost 11 years. I think it's a really, besides the friendship, it's a really good cause about the money. And every time, once a year, we're doing the scholarship, and I saw the people that really appreciate that they get something for the money. Anything before we say goodnight, you want to add anything?
I think that's the quickest synopsis we've ever done. but that's, if anybody has any questions, feel free. Our Billy and my phone number and all the other members are on the website. Feel free if anybody would like to call and get some more information. You can call me directly or call Billy, and we'd be happy to chat a little bit further about our group. And we hope you'll join us.
Yes, and
thank you so much.
I wish you next Thursday, and I hope a lot of people will listen right now. A lot of women can come next Thursday. It's a great group. Good night, and thank you so, so much, Elaine.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. We start to talk about our business is about divorce. I have so many questions to ask. So you know what? Maybe next week, that's what we need to continue. And it was very important to bring Lisa Travis, you know, from the White Stream Networking Group and it was really amazing about what she's doing.
Yeah.
And thank you.
And it's great to have that collaboration happening and look forward to more work with other hosts.
I'm excited that we're going to do the reading. Are you afraid that we're going to do the reading?
Nah.
Did you do the ringing before?
Mm.
I did that once. It was a very bad experience, and I still remember that. And that's why I'm going to do it, but I'm terrified.
But I did have somebody come up to me and say, "You've been cursed. You need to come see me." So when she said that, I was like, "I know exactly what you're talking about."
Yeah.
Somebody
told you that you've been cursed.
Yeah, I was in the mall, and they said, "You've been cursed. Come and see me tonight. Give me a card." And I was like, "Okay, whatever."
I think that you'd be in jail, this person, you'd be cursed at that. But you know what? It's really fascinating. Everything with reading and, you know, all the cards and everything, I'm fascinated. I don't know. But go back to
who are you, Billy?
I don't know who I am.
She's still in Israel, everybody.
I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm clinical psychology and family therapist here in Boca. And you can reach me on 561-271-7106. You can go to my website, dreisenberg.com. And you can go to my email, drbeisenberg@gmail.com. And
I'm Sheila Ledger Wise, family law attorney. You can reach me at 954-783-9737. You can visit me at my website at www.wiselawoffice.com. You can tweet me at FBWiseLaw, or send me an email at FBWise@wiselaw.com.
And we want to apologize. We didn't have a break today.
Kept talking
because it was so fascinating.
I don't know if Daria's going to get in trouble.
Daria, we can't stop Lisa and then Elaine.
So fascinating.
Yeah,
topic.
And go to the Facebook page, Family Power, and you're going to see the information about next week. I hope the guest's going to come next week. If not, we need to continue about what we did. It was really fascinating. Feel better, darling. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody. And
see you next week.